An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
If you have tuned into our Friday sessions, you know we've been dealing with the doctrines of grace, commonly called the 5 points of Calvinism, and you're welcome to go to the website and download all of those free of charge. We've dealt with the first 4 points, and that web address is agradio.org. Today we are tackling the last one, Mike, the perseverance of the saints, and I don't know. I guess I've heard people say I'm a 4-pointer. I've even heard people say I'm a 3-pointer. There's some kind of pointer. This one usually gets dropped along with the L. So you'll get a lot of 3-pointers out there. And the ones they don't like of the 5 points of Calvinism are limited atonement and perseverance of the saints. This is a really important one to conclude with. There's a reason it's last on the TULIP doctrines, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and finally, the perseverance of the saints. Maybe, Mike, you can define this for us, help us understand what this doctrine is, and we'll tackle why it's so important.
Right. Well, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is quite simply that those whom the Father gave to the Son before the foundations of the world, that is the elect, and who were also paid for, redeemed by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, which we also understand as definite redemption, and whom the Holy Spirit has brought to faith in Jesus Christ, which is what we talked about last week, the doctrine of irresistible grace or effectual calling, that the Holy Spirit will also preserve them, keep them from falling away from faith until their death. They will persevere to the end. Now, it's sometimes you hear people speak of the idea of once saved, always saved. Well, we certainly believe that if you are saved, you will be saved for eternity. But sometimes what people mean by the idea of once saved, always saved is not exactly the same thing as the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Because this doctrine, as it's articulated in the Reformed Confessions, the Canons of Dort, Westminster Confession, it's the understanding from Scripture that those whom God has elected and for whom Christ died and the Holy Spirit brought to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit will keep until their death. It doesn't mean that they won't have times of going up and down in their faith, so to speak. There may be times, maybe periods of less assurance or more assurance. There may be times of slipping backwards rather than going forward. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit will keep them to the very end, and they will not fall away.
Right, and we see how important this is in tying it to the rest of the points of the 5 points of Calvinism. I mean, it would be awful to say that Christ died for his sheep and then failed to bring that sheep to salvation.
Right.
So, you know, it would be awful to say that he, by his powerful grace, wooed a sinner to himself, changing the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then lost that sinner. I mean, it's just, it's really an impossibility to say one could be born again and then become unborn again.
Right, or that someone whom the Father had elected in the Son before the foundations of the world could fall away and not end up in heaven.
Right, so this is, we believe this is the most pastoral, kind of the capstone of all here, because what we're saying is that the Lord is fulfilling the work that he began. This is Philippians 1. He who began a good work in you will see it to completion.
That's right.
And this is really comforting. Mike made a few comments about, you know, the struggles that we have. And I love what Charles Spurgeon once said. The believer is like a man on a shipboard. He may fall again and again on the deck, but he will never fall overboard.
That's right.
And that's a really good way to look at the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. But maybe, Mike, to be fair, let's deal with the objections against this doctrine and why people struggle with this teaching. I think the first and probably the most legitimate objection that we have to answer is, hey, we see all the time. Uncle Johnny came to the faith, walked the aisle, said the sinner's prayer, went through the whole thing, lived a decent Christian life for 5 years, and all of a sudden Uncle Johnny ran off with some woman and he is no longer in the church. He's rejected the faith. He's gone. How can you tell me he didn't, you know, lose his salvation?
Right. Well, we would understand that by the person wasn't saved to begin with. And even though we can't discern that with the eye, we take a person's profession of faith as we understand it, you know, to be credible and to be good, if it isn't indeed a credible profession of faith. But the only way ultimately that we know if that person, as far as we can tell with our finite minds, if that person in fact is a believer, is if they do persevere in the faith. It's not to say that they won't have periods of falling, stumbling, but that they will repent. The believer will always come back to repent. We see that, for example, in David's life. You know, David with his whole sin with Bathsheba and killing Uriah, when he's confronted by Nathan the prophet after about a year and a half or so of living in sin, he makes repentance. It's impossible for the believer not to repent. It's impossible for the believer to refuse to repent repeatedly. He may go through a huge struggle of sin. He may go through a period of even living in sin, but he will be brought to repentance in the end. That's what we see throughout Scripture. So when we see those things in life, we have to understand that only God ultimately knows those who are elect. We have to go by whether or not we see this person persevering in the faith. And the Lord uses means to that end, the means of hearing the gospel, partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's a really important reason why we need to be members of a good church.
Well, and I think it's the really important point that you've made. We can't read the heart. So that what we see and what we experience with people is not always the reality that has gone on the inside. And right. So, and we can't see the big picture. We can't see, we can't see the end of someone's life. I mean, hey, you mentioned the absolute necessity of repentance, and let's just take the thief on the cross. He may have come earlier in life, lived a rebellious life, and even at the very end, he repented and confessed his sins, and he was one of Christ's sheep. I mean, that is a possibility.
Right.
That's not the norm. But that is a possibility.
That is a possibility. And conversely, we can think of Judas. You know, Judas is one of the 12. Judas did great things great things in the faith and great things for the Lord. But when we see Jesus saying, "One of you will betray me," they all didn't immediately look at Judas. Nobody knew. Right. In fact, they were saying, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" Nobody was really sure. But ultimately, it was Judas. He was the one who fell away.
Right. And I think Jesus answers this whole problem for us in the parable of the sower.
Right.
You know, you mentioned, Mike, the use of means. And that whole parable there, Jesus is describing the preaching of the gospel in the kingdom. And
right. You
have different kinds of hearers to that. You have the first hearer where it lands on the wayside. It doesn't even get into the heart. He immediately rejects it, and Satan comes and snatches away what was taken. And then you had he who received the seed on stony places. And what happens? He hears the word, and immediately he receives it with joy. Well, we have all sorts of crusade phenomenons
right. That
are just like that. What happens? He has no root in himself. He endures for a while. And then when things get hard, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he's gone. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you're going to see this reality. Then he described those among thorns who are caught up in the cares of this world and the riches and these sort of things, and they don't produce any fruit.
That's right.
But then he described, which is obviously, those who he has sovereignly, by his powerful grace, given life in the heart, who hear the word, and what do, Mike? They receive it with joy, and they bear fruit.
Right, and they follow. That's what you're going to see, is they follow. And that's a great analogy that the Lord uses, and the seed is the word of God. And we need to continually use the word of God. We need to be careful how we hear. We need to be members of a church where we're hearing the gospel regularly, where we're receiving the gospel visibly in the Lord's Supper. It's not enough simply to have prayed a prayer, say, well, I'm a Christian, and then keep yourself at distance from the church or abandon the church for the rest of your life. If you do that, then we have no assurance that you're a Christian. You need to be using the means that God has provided for your perseverance. It's all of his grace, but the one who believes will desire to follow. He won't follow perfectly. He will stumble and fall. But this, again, is why we need elders over us. We need a good pastor. We need the communion of saints. We need brothers and sisters in a local church, because we exhort one another to love and good works, as Hebrews says, and all the more as we see the day drawing near.
Maybe the next objection, Mike, that is a common one, at least I've heard as well. Okay, if this is all up to the Lord, and he's the one that perseveres us, and he's the one that saves us and gives us the grace, you know, you've got a lot of scripture passages in the Bible that are calling us to endurance. They're calling us to persist. They're calling us to be faithful. They're calling us to be blameless. They're calling us to endure. I mean, think of 2 Timothy 2. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. Right. So, Mike, just to play the advocate here, devil's advocate, okay, why give those? Why in the world would we need to endure if he's the one doing the persevering?
Right, that's a great question. We might call those warning passages. Another one that comes to mind is Colossians 1, where Paul's going off about Christ and his preeminence. And he says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard." So the question is, can we lose what we have been given? Well, look, the way I look at it is like this. Those passages are warning signs. If God says to you, by way of example, "Chris, I want you to drive in your car from San Diego all the way to New York. I have ordained that you will arrive in New York safely. You will get there." Along the way, there are road signs. There are stop signs. There are, "Be careful here, slippery when wet. Be careful here, windy road." Well, you obey those signs because you're not going to presume on the grace of God and say, "Well, I could just close my eyes here and drive right through these red lights and keep going because God has ordained that I'm going to arrive in New York safely." No, he has provided means to that end. He has ordained the means as well as the end. And so you obey those signs as you go along. We hear those warning passages and we say, "You know, I need to endure. You know, I need to continue in the faith." Mm-hmm. "You know, that's right what Scripture is saying. I need to put off the old man. I've been struggling with this. I need to pursue holiness." And it's that lifelong battle that we fight, right, of the inner enemy of sin and the persistence that the Holy Spirit gives us to pursue the holiness of God.
Right. And that's, you know, this is the responsibility of sanctification. Right. I mean, this is why Philippians says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We have to endure. Mm-hmm. We understand that call. But then he says in the next breath, it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, that's Paul right. didn't see those things in tension.
Right.
He understood that we have a responsibility in the Christian life to endure. We have a responsibility. And Mike, maybe this is just a good point to say. None of these doctrines of grace should make us careless.
No.
Mm-mm. None of these doctrines of grace should make us apathetic to Christian living. It's right. grace that drives our living.
Right.
So this is a really important point to think about. Now, I have some objections then from the other end. If somebody is going to deny the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, I think that does a lot of damage to our view of the sovereignty of God and his what we call his omniscience and his omnipotence, his power. If God is all-knowing, you know, and he has determined the end from the beginning, what kind of message is it to say, okay, God chose you and then he let you fall by yourself and bring yourself to salvation? I mean, I just find no hope at all in that message.
Right.
Well, we're thankful you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. You're welcome to go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All of these podcasts are there free of downloads for downloads, so do please make use of our website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.